Hello, my name is Mimi B. Rose, and I'm here to read chapter one of the prequel to my Shifter series. The prequel is called Love's Anchor, and it sets up a bit of the backstory and the love story of the parents of the pack that is the focus of my series, my Shifter series. It's called, the series is the Laurentian Mountain Clan. Love's Anchor is the prequel, and book one is Heart's Ease, and book two will be coming out in 2023. Looking forward to sharing it with you. So for now, we'll get started on chapter one of Love's Anchor. And it's set in the Laurentian Mountains of Quebec in 1988. Mirabelle Beauchamp knelt by her husband's grave in the small cemetery. The wind whisked the crisp autumn leaves in small eddies around her. She looked up, listening, and tensed for flight. Did I just hear a howl in the woods? It didn't sound like the local Shifter clan, probably a pack passing through the mountains on their way to their winter residence. Nothing to worry about. She looked back at the gravestone and traced Jacques' name on the marker. 3 years, she whispered. Why did it end this way? She wiped the tears from her cheeks and pulled her long coat around her middle. Her friends in Montreal didn't understand. They thought she should have buried her husband in the city, but her best memories of her husband came from this village in northern Quebec. Their walks through the little streets, the dances at the parish hall, the times before things got bad. She rested her head on Jacques' gravestone, her shoulder-length brown bob falling over her face, shutting her off from the world. I'm trying to move on, but I can't, she whispered. Damn you. There was still a giant hole in her chest where her heart used to be. She wondered how it wasn't visible from the outside. The little town was her refuge these days. The villagers made a point to check in on her. Pushing herself to become involved in the community eased the grief and anger a little. I've been trying to keep busy, but it's not working. I'm spinning around with nothing to hang on to. A rustling noise came from behind her. Was it Madame Lafitte? Or Monsieur Blay? They often visited their loved ones in the little cemetery. Mirabelle looked around. Nothing but the old-fashioned iron fence and worn-down gravestones. A crumbling gray statue of an angel surveyed the scene in the middle of the graveyard. It must be a squirrel or a hare. She roused herself and stood. Time to get back to the real world, Jay. After giving one last pat to her husband's gravestone, she walked through the path to the entrance. At the cemetery gate, she heard a noise to the right. A tall man in a dark gray overcoat rushed towards her, looking behind him. He was nearly on top of her when he turned his head. Piercing gray eyes met her gaze. He raised his hands. She reached out to stop him from crashing into her, but it was too late. Their fingers met. She fell down a hole or into a dream. Mirabelle landed in the dark, grass and earth below, stars and trees above. In a clearing, people sang and danced in the firelight. Smoke and pine wafted to her nose. A large muscular arm reached down, grasped her hand, and pulled her up from the ground. Two hands reached around her and held her close to a sculpted body. She stared up into the dark eyes of a man she'd never seen before, but those eyes were familiar. Tall, broad shoulders, dark gray overcoat, no, not coat, furs. Long, dark hair was pulled into rough braids that begged to be stroked. Gray eyes, high cheekbones, kissable lips. He almost glowed in the bonfire light. He was hers, wasn't he? She looked down and touched her linen smock, noting a dark wool shawl draped over her shoulders. Slippers hugged her feet, connecting her to the earth. He pulled her into the circle, the other couples whirling around them. They stood still for a moment. Warmth and strength emanated from him, enveloping her. He leaned in to place his lips by her neck, his nose tickling her ear. She breathed him in. Pine forests and earth, fur and leather and smoke. The gorgeous man stepped back and grinned. He whirled her around faster and faster. They laughed together. She was dizzy and smiling and falling. At the cemetery entrance, Mirabelle came to, the ground cold beneath her. A tall, handsome man held her head and shoulders. Backlit by the sun, his short dark hair set off a rugged face, high cheekbones and smooth olive skin. Hard, sinewy muscles flexed under his soft, tailored overcoat. Gray eyes held her gaze. She caught a hint of smoke and furs. She was groggy and lying down and staring, and she wanted to stay lying down with this man above her or under her or anywhere he wanted to be. "How? What happened?" she asked, reaching out towards his cheek. "I bowled you over. I'm sorry," he said in a deep baritone, the sound rumbling through his chest. His eyes pinned her with his intense gaze. She resisted the urge to slip her arms around his shoulders. "Are you all right?" he asked, licking his lips. "I don't know." She put her hands on either side of her on the ground. "I was walking along and I didn't see you until it was too late. I thought I had a hold of you, but then you fell down." He tried to help her sit up. Who are you?" She looked into his gray eyes and heard the echo of fiddles and laughing. They both froze half awake, caught in a spell, searching for something that was already slipping away. When a wolf howled in the distance, the spell was broken. They both turned towards the tree line, which was several meters away. This man, this promise of firelight and forest and passion, frowned and shook his head, peering into the woods. His powerful hands squeezed her shoulders for a moment and let out a low growl. She tensed. "Are you?" she asked. "Shifter? Wolf?" He turned back to her, his eyes now glowing yellow. Her own wolf answered back, a low rumble from deep inside her. "Yes." The vibrations met and coursed through both of them in waves. When he pushed her back on the ground, she reached up and pulled his face toward hers. She had never felt this magnetic pull for someone, not even Jacques. When she sought his mouth with hers, heat rippled through her body. Just as she melted into him, a crash sounded behind them. Six wolves loped out of the woods, howling and chuffing as they approached the couple on the ground. The man sat back and shifted into a giant charcoal wolf. As Mirabelle transformed into her white wolf form, the pack circled around the two of them. The biggest of the attackers advanced, snarling at the charcoal wolf. The gray wolf snapped at the mud-colored fur, then pounced on the brown wolf. Mirabelle was distracted by two smaller wolves barking at her. She approached them, teeth bared and growling. Lunging forward, she snapped at the flanks of one while she tried to push the other with her back legs. They rolled over her as she bit and clawed, anger rising within her. Her mother had kept her away from other shifters, but she had prepared Mirabelle to defend herself if needed. Mirabelle was not going to let these pups win. She bit an ear and scrambled until they whined and withdrew, panting. The gray wolf howled. His opponent was down, blood dripping from its hind legs. A couple of wolves answered his call, but they sounded far away. Were they on the other side of the small town? The brown wolf snarled and renewed their attack. She felt a sharp pain on her side. She kept fighting, but there were too many of them. The gray wolf appeared in front of her as another brown one advanced. He pushed the newcomer down and tore out his throat. It was vicious, but she only felt satisfaction seeing the blood gushing on the ground. Two gray wolves ran into the clearing to join the fight. Circling, they snapped at the attackers. When one brown wolf ran off, the grays pounced on the remaining wolves. They joined in the fight until their foes were wounded and had limped off into the woods. Mirabelle's heart was pounding. She had avoided shifters all her life. Why did they find her here, now? Am I in danger? She remembered her mother's stories of loup-garou, the French-Canadian werewolves. The original settlers in New France had spun fearful tales of outcasts turning to the devil and being punished by God. Shifters were sinners who needed punishment, like Eve and the curse of childbirth. She knew it wasn't true, but sometimes she felt she was being treated unfairly by the universe for something she didn't choose. She was woozy. Blood gushed from a slash on her flank. Shifting would heal the serious injuries. She sat down and concentrated, her bones and sinews transforming into human positions. It didn't hurt exactly, but it wasn't a pleasant experience. Back in her human form, Mirabelle knelt on the cold ground. Where had she left her clothes? The man who had fought with her against the other wolves appeared with his gray overcoat, gently wrapping it around her. She snuggled into it and started to shiver uncontrollably. "Who are you?" she asked. "Maxime," he said. "Your mate." She could have sworn she heard him say it, but his lips hadn't moved. "Let's have someone look at your wounds," he said. Maxime was shaken by the beautiful woman. Her hazel eyes stared right into his soul. She looked so small in his overcoat, but he had seen her courage in the confrontation. He checked her injuries before the medic arrived. She had blood and a scrape on her left side, but shifting had repaired most of the damage. "How are you?" he asked. Her flowery scent was making his wolf stand at attention. "I'm fine, just a little tired. I haven't fought like that in a long time." Her shoulders drooped, and she rested her head on his chest. Her silky hair tickled his bare arm. The medic handed him some clothes and leaned down to inspect the woman. Maxime's pulse raced as he fought the urge to pull the man away from her as he quickly dressed. "Calm down." "Is she in shock?" Maxime asked the medic, trying to concentrate on something other than her gorgeous olive skin and soft hair. The medic nodded. "She shouldn't be alone." "Good." Maxime turned to the woman. "Do you live near here?" She nodded. "On the lake." "By yourself?" "Say yes." She nodded again, those eyes staring into him. His heart swelled. "She's mine," his wolf said. "I'm going to take you to my grandmother's house just until you're able to go home," Max said. "I'm fine," she protested, trying to stand up. She wobbled, and Max caught her. The medic intervened. "I don't advise it, Miss Mirabelle. I don't need any help." Still, she clung to his arm. Maxime's pulse raced. "Please, you were attacked in my territory in my grandmother's village. It is my duty to look after you." That wasn't exactly how he meant to put it, but he meant every word. "What is going on with me?" "I can release you to Mr. Ducharme's care, but I can't authorize you to go home by yourself," the medic said. "Wait, your last name is Ducharme?" she asked. Maxime nodded, raising his eyebrows. "Do you know Marie Ducharme?" "That's my mama," he said, a smile breaking across his face. "Do you know her?" "Yes," she replied. "She's at the house with my grandmama." "Good, that makes it easier." "Okay, I'll come with you," she said, "but only for a few hours, then I want to go home." He nodded, relief coursing through him. The medic called over his partner and they bundled her into the emergency vehicle. Maxime hurried to his car and followed the emergency vehicle back to his grandmother's house. He could leave the rest of the security team at the scene to clean up. On the short drive, Maxime thought about what had happened when he touched the enticing woman. It was like he knew her somehow. He had glimpsed strange images of her laughing with him, kissing him, but they were disjointed and didn't make any sense. They weren't memories, yet they still felt like they had happened to him. Soon enough, they pulled into the drive of his grandmother's house at the edge of the village. He was always reminded of Hansel and Gretel when he saw her house, even though she was the furthest thing from an evil witch. There were always cookies and sweets at her table, a cozy fire at the hearth, and a smile on her lips. He had loved all the old fairy tales when he was a child. He followed the medics as they helped the young woman into the house. He directed them to take her upstairs to the blue bedroom. It was a large country house with lots of space for times when the extended family visited. Grandmama always kept a couple of rooms ready for surprise guests. "Grandmama, c'est moi, Maxime. Where are you?" He found his grandmother in the living room, sitting in her lazy boy, listening to the radio and knitting. Despite her failing eyesight, she could still knit better than anyone in the family. He enjoyed winding the skeins into balls for her. It was a soothing pastime while they talked or watched television. He kissed her on the forehead and continued through the house. He found his mother in the den, looking through the payroll for the family business. Although they had expanded to 3 ski lodges, and Maxime's father had told his mother several times they could afford to hire a bookkeeper, she still liked to do the books. When Maxime explained what had happened, she came to help with the woman. "Oh, that's the widow Beauchamp," she said as they walked up the stairs. "I told you about her." "Your widow friend who helps out with the bookkeeping sometimes?" Marie nodded. "She used to be an accountant before she moved to Lake Saint-Patrice. I thought the widow Beauchamp was a lot older and not so pretty." "The village is not just seniors, Cher. There are some people under the age of 60, Marie chuckled. They entered the blue bedroom and Marie hurried to embrace the woman sitting on the bed. "This is Mirabelle. She lives in a cabin owned by her late husband's family. Mirabelle, this is my son, Max." Max brought his gaze to her smiling face, searching for something. His wolf snuffled. "Not now." Maxime pushed him down. He couldn't think about this here, even if her tan skin looked good enough to eat. His wolf smacked his lips. "Easy boy," Maxime soothed. "Are you all right?" Marie asked, helping the woman to lie down and folding a quilt around her. "Yes, thanks to your son." "She held her own, but there were 6 wolves against the 2 of us." He had been amazed by her strength. She was a fighter, just like he had imagined his mate would be. Marie clucked over her charge. "Poor dear, you rest here. When you're feeling better, I'll have Maxime take you home." She passed a hand over Mirabelle's eyes and the woman fell asleep. "What happened?" Marie asked her son. "Rogue pack making trouble. Looked like the Trois-Rivières clan." "Rudolph is too ambitious. He still hasn't forgiven your father for winning the border dispute." Maxime considered this information. "We're pretty far from their territory here. What are they up to?" "Spying for their alpha? Causing trouble? Keep an eye out and tell the patrols to take extra care." Marie fussed a little more with the pillows, then sighed. "I think she's set. We can check on her in an hour and see how she's doing." "I think I'll stay if you don't mind," Max said, running his hand through his hair. Though his body reacted powerfully to this woman, his mind was peaceful when he was near her. Marie looked at him, then at Mirabelle, with a small smile. She patted his head and left, shutting the door quietly. His wolf poked his head up again. "Mate?" he whined. Maxime shook it off. He didn't have time for complications. His father had just made him lieutenant. They had to sort out their feud with the Trois-Rivières pack now that the border dispute had been resolved by the Council of the Clans. The neighboring clan and its power-hungry alpha, Rudolph, had been trying to encroach on the Laurentian clan's territory. Max's father, Robert, had tried to negotiate informally, but Rudolph refused. It had taken the council's ruling to get the Trois-Rivières clan to back down. He sighed, suddenly feeling bone weary. "Might as well take a few minutes to close my eyes. The world won't end."